With us is Youngkin Park from the Cell Group, nanoscale live cell imaging using optical interferometry. Do you need to connect up your...
Hi, my name is Youngkin Park. I'm a second year graduate student working in Microsoft Cell Group. I'd like to talk about nanoscale live cell imaging using optical interferometry. Outline. First, I'd like to talk about some introductions about what is live cell imaging and some motivation and our goals. And second, diffraction phase microscope, the new imaging technique for this nanoscale live cell imaging. After that, I'd like to introduce some biological samples such as low cell dynamics and fast cell dynamics, as well as some clinical applications. Cell, one of the most typical biological samples is transparent. So if you see through optical microscope, blood field microscope, it's very hard to see the structures of cell because they are relying on the intensity of the optical wave. Again, cells are transparent, so you can think of them as a phase object. So about 50 years ago, the Jonick came up with an idea to convert this phase in terms of intensity so that using this technique named phase contrast, you can see the structures as subcellular organs very clearly. This technique provides very good contrast in terms of phase, and also you can see some dynamics because it's using the light technique. However, this technique is qualitative. That means you don't have any information in terms of thickness. At the same time, people have worked on developing this quantitative imaging technique for the biology and medicine. For example, left panel shows scanning electron microscope and right panel shows atomic force microscope. Both of these techniques have very nice spatial resolution and that provides some quantitative information of the cell. However, this is static. That means, for example, for electron microscope case, it requires special preparation that virtually kills the cell. So what you want to see here is a screenshot image of the dead cell. For AFN case, it needs a lot of time to get all area of the, you know, the view. So it's very hard to get the dynamics of the cell. So our goal is to combine the advantage of the two techniques, dynamic and quantitative, at the same time. So our lab have worked on developing the quantitative phase microscope for a couple of years. And in order to achieve these quantitative and dynamic images of cells in the same time. So recently, we have developed diffraction phase microscope, and I'd like to show how it works. As I said, the cells are transparent phase objects. So when the plane wave is passing through these cells, there's some phase delay. So if you use interferometer, you can retrieve the phase information out of this optical wave. And as you know, this phase delay it can be expressed in terms of refractive index differences, here delta n, and hxy, that is the thickness of the cell. So if you know the information of this delta n, you can reconstruct the thickness of the cell quantitatively. So for example, in lateral cell case, it's known that they have very homogeneous delta n, so it's pretty much straightforward to reconstruct these cell structures out of this phase information. So this is a setup. We utilize the commercial inverted microscope here, and the sample is placed on here. And the collimated light is passing through this simple sample, and there's some phase delay. And this image is projected on this image plane where that the diffraction phase grating is placed. This is the key part of our system. So after this grating, there are many others, but we only care two of them. The objective here is we want to have two beams. One, the sample beam, which has the phase information. The second is the reference beam, which has the plane wave. But the problem here we so far we had the two order of beings exactly having the same information. So we need to convert one of them into plane wave. So how to do this? So we use the typical 4F system, and in this feeder plane, there is a pinhole which works as a low pass filter. So when the zeroth order happens with pinhole, all the higher frequency terms is blocked, so that it will end up with plane wave. So now, you have both sample and reference down in the common path geometry that reduce the noise significantly, because most of the phase noise is cancelled out here. So we achieve 0.2 nanometer optical path length stability. Once you get this interferogram on your CCD, this slide shows how to retrieve this phase information out of this interferogram. Interferogram can be expressed in terms of generally like this, and the phase information is inside of this cosine term. And Hilbert transform provides a sine term of corresponding term in terms of imaginary part. Once you have this cosine and sine term, it's pretty easy to get this phase information out of it. So this figure A is again interferogram on CCD. Figure B shows the procedure of Hilbert transform. And figure C is a phase information out of this intensity. I'd like to show you some examples. The first one is slow cell dynamics. What I mean here, slow means second to dead arm. Because this technique, to get one shot of this phase image, you only need one shot of interferogram. Unlike the conventional technique, they need four. But for here, you only need one, so the acquisition speed is only limited by the camera speed. So you can cover broad range of acquisition time length. So we first, I'd like to first show some sample slow cell dynamics. We monitor the area, the mass and area of that the epithelial cancer cell on the mitosis. When we also studied the cell motility using this technique, because it can cover the second to day time range. And this movie shows the stability of the system. This is a white blood cell, and somehow it's crawling toward red blood cell, and it kicks the red blood cell, and suddenly red blood cell exploded. I'm going to come back to this elasticity of red blood cell in the later slides, but it's pretty crucial for red blood cell to keep the elasticity of the membrane. Once that fails, once the red blood cell loses elasticity, it can be killed. It can be engulfed by macrophages like this. The next examples will be fast cell dynamics. I'd like to show you some examples like red blood cell membrane fluctuations. Before showing some results, I'd like to give you some brief background of red blood cell. As I said, in circulation system of the body, red blood cells have to be elastic so that they can be folded sometimes, they can be squeezed in order to pass through the capillaries or passing through these small holes in the spleen. The left pattern shows that the red blood cell is passing through the spleen, and this is electron microscope images there. You can see that the red blood cell is squeezed so that they can just pass through. Once they lose elasticity or fail to, passing this elastic step, they can be killed or die. So what makes these cells so elastic? This is the normal red blood cell shape, which is measured by our technique. The membrane property is very soft and elastic. I want you to note that the surface, it cannot be stretched too much. Once the membrane is stretched a little bit, it can be torn. However, it can be squeezed and elongated pretty much, like more than 200%. That's because of the structure. Actually, lipid bilayer itself is very fluid-like, very easy to feature. However, the cytoskeleton called the spectrin provides the elastic properties of the membrane. So this kind of mesh-like cytoskeleton is loosely attached on that membrane. So you can think there's a scaffolding of the membrane. So another one is red blood cell is flickering. Then the cell membrane is fluctuating, which is measured for more than 100 years. And this is a way to study membrane properties, because this kind of membrane fluctuation is strongly related the structures of the membrane. The actual movement of this membrane fluctuations is about 50 nanometers in time scale of milliseconds. So people have tried to study this technique at this fluctuation, but they haven't been done with yet some religious. However, we believe that our technique is ideal method to study this kind of membrane fluctuation. This is the typical red blood cell fluctuation. So you can see that this kind of normal dimple shaped red blood cell fluctuates pretty much. And before showing some movie, I like to give you some brief explanation of each panel. The first panel will be the shape from the contractive phase. Second panel will be displacement itself, which is, you can think that instant displacement, such as like membrane withdrawal of the red blood cell. And panel C is the histogram of this displacement, and figure D is effective stiffness of the cell, which is calculated from this displacement over time. So from the normal cell called discocyte, you can see very high fluctuation of the cell membrane, but it goes to abnormal shape, such as a chinocyte, which means some spicule on the membrane. The fluctuation goes down completely, and the width of the histogram goes down, goes narrow. For this spherocyte, which is like sphere shape, the fluctuation goes down pretty much, and you can see that the corresponding stiffness goes up significantly. So we found that there is a strong relationship between cell shape and the elasticity of the cell. So when the cell shape goes from the normal to abnormal, the stiffness, elasticity, is loosened, is lost. For the last couple of minutes, I'd like to introduce some clinical applications of this system. That is malaria. This is kind of bad disease for more than 50% of the world is malaria area, and each year 5 million people got infected and more than 1 million die of malaria. And this malaria is carried by this mosquito, and the malaria parasite infects the red blood cell. This is the figure of the merozoite being released from the red blood cell. This left panel shows the life cycle of malaria, but I'm not going to go to detail of this, pathological stuff. But I like to note that this is the bright field microscopic imaging. This is normal, and this is early, and this is late stage of malaria infection, red blood cell imaging. Our group have worked with Tubular Thrush group for a couple of months, so we got some preliminary results. So we have measured the quantitative imaging of this corresponding cell shape. And we have studied the membrane fluctuations of each shape. So as you can see, for normal shape, you see that the high fluctuation. But when it goes down to early and late stage, fluctuation goes down significantly. So this histogram is showing that the displacement of each stage. So for normal, high fluctuation, late stage, small fluctuation. Summary, we have developed diffraction phase microscope. This is very stable, and it can cover broad time scale, and we quantified membrane motions, and we studied membrane dynamics, and we hope this method can be applied for various fields. So this is contributors from our group, Gabriel Popescu, I'm directly working with him in Hanam Pathologist. Ramachandra Michael Feld is associate director and director. We are working with Catherine and Juliana for red blood cell study, and for malaria study, we are working with research group Monica George and Professor Tubular Thrush. Thank you for listening.
Looks like the surface had 800 micron little mountains on it. Are those reproducible? Are they observed the other methods?
By other method?
Yeah, other imaging methods of it. Are they real or are they experimental?
Actually, we use that the phase as a contrast. So maybe some proteins can be contrast. came into some information of the roughness. But we certainly believe that this is not adequate. We already see that the proteins itself. But maybe some proteins on the surface membrane, or some proteins, you know, that can be on the topograph will be a little bit different.
How big are they? Are they about 100 microns?
Oh, you mean the thickness or the roughness?
The, like, width.
Width of the lateral cell?
Of the
lump? What do you mean exactly?
Like from peak to peak.
This small peak?
Yeah.
It looks like a couple of microns, I think. Yeah. Yes. XY resolution, spatial resolution, is almost same as optical method, but it's about 500 nanometers. However, the Z direction resolution for the axial direction is we can see small differences, which is more than 0.2 nanometers. So axial resolution is much, you know, specific for lesser resolution.
In a clinical setting, how long does it take to take a blood sample to get a sense of the stiffness of the red blood cell?
Once you have some sample, mm-hmm. it doesn't take too much time for measuring. But for analysis, it takes some time because the computer computation requires to get some properties. Actually, we have some parameters like complex modulus or stiffness. We need some time to compute that out of the space information. But doing experiments, it doesn't take too much time.
Like what? How many minutes or seconds? Or
a couple of minutes for each cell. Less than 1 minute, something like that, usually. Actually, the computation, I mean, is like that, the Hilbert transform. So basically, we measure the interferogram, and we need to retrieve the phase out of it. So one shot of interferon, it needs a couple of seconds to retry the phase information. So that's a bottleneck for real time imaging.
So tell me if I'm wrong, essentially the property that you're using your image is optical density.
Exactly.
Is that sensitive to like a particular class of molecules in particular?
In this case, we believe that the hemoglobin, one of the proteins, is the constant.
Okay.
But for leprosy case, we have very homogeneous distribution of hemoglobin. For the other cell, which has the nucleus, the subcellular organelles, what you're going to see is like not exactly the shape of the cell. This is the optical density of the cell. Yeah. Actually, we just assume that the cell is pretty much transparent. So that means there's not too much harm in the cell. But we usually use, we haven't calculated, we take precise measures of the intensity, but we believe that that doesn't harm the cell. It's very weak. Intensity of the light, maybe it's weak. You mean over there? Of the cell? Actually, as long as you have some you get some signal, there's no limit. But the other of my colleagues are measuring some tissue stuff. But in this case, the problem is after projection, you're not going to have some intensity of the light. So in that case, you cannot use the method. At least you have some projected light after technical stuff. I cannot say this. The specific thickness. I think that varies from cell to cell or from sample to sample.
If there are no further questions, thank you very much. The next speaker is Michael O'Kelly.